The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
It's beginning to look a lot like the college football season. I say that because Michael Bratton, who's been here a couple of times from Saturday down south, just put out a couple of lines for the opening weekend. And I don't normally do betting lines. But remember what Griff said yesterday? You guys remember? About how Georgia, Kirby Smart, just might as well just wave the white flag when Oregon shows up. Well, according to Caesars, Georgia today, it could change by the time the game goes off, is going off as a 15-point favorite over Oregon. A couple of other lines. It's May. It's only May, what, 3rd? We already have the lines out. Alabama, 31-point favorite over Utah State. Arkansas, Cincinnati. Think about this for a second. You got playoff team from last year. Two undefeated regular seasons in a row going into Arkansas, a team that until last year couldn't win a conference game or barely could. Arkansas, 8-point favorite at home against Cincinnati. Florida and Utah. How many times have we heard Utah? Florida has no chance in this opening game against Utah, right? Pick 'em in Vegas. Apparently Vegas likes what Billy Napier is doing. Mississippi State and Memphis, that's a game that the Bulldogs gave away last year with some help from the officials. Bulldogs, 11-point favorite right now in Vegas. And LSU and Florida State. LSU, a 3.5-point favorite. So for those of you who have been waiting for the college football season, there are some pretty strong signs that we're getting closer. Let's get back to the calls. And check in with Randy in Georgia. Hello, Randy.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M. I really do. I mean, Jimbo's a great coach, but I feel like he hadn't performed at Texas A&M. I feel like the best season he had was Kobe's season.
Well, Randy, that was a good season. They only lost that one game to Alabama because it was a 28-point deficit, cost them getting into the playoffs. But, I think there is enormous pressure that will be on him this year to prove that he has an elite program. And he recruited better than anybody has ever done before. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Ray is in New Jersey. You're on the air. Hello, Ray.
Hi. Earlier you had a call on the subject of playoffs and buys and seeding.
Right.
And one thing that occurs to me is that, the joy, we lose the joy sometimes in everybody being so uptight about who's going to win the championship and is it fair and how we do it. Seems to me, if we're going to have playoffs, if we're going to have tournaments, the idea is to be sure that the best team of all the teams that enters the tournament wins. And so it would be very fair to not only seed, but to give buys to the higher seed. Because if you don't, you disrespect the total body of work that a team did all year. And on any game, on any day, a team can have an outlier and lose. Or a team can get hot. LSU did that years ago in the Final Four, and they just went on a run. And that's great and all, but the body of work wasn't there for the year. And I just think that we should respect the body of work for the year and then give some of these teams that developed and are looking good an opportunity to show what they can do and have a chance to win. But I think it's very fair. It would be unfair not to give the higher seed, the buys. And that's the whole reason we seed to start with, is to make sure that the best team, that as far as whoever's running it, whatever tournament it is, whoever has the best team, we design the tournament so that they have the best opportunity to prove they are the best. So,
thank you, Ray. I appreciate your call very much. Chad is up next. Good afternoon, Chad.
Hey, Paul, brother, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good, good, man. Listen, I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I grew up in L.A., of all people. You should know where that is.
I sure do.
Listening to you on Jocks Radio. Lived up there in your neck of woods on Lake Norman for a minute.
And oh, wow.
And moved back to God's country. I just wanted to call and let you know that Jim from Tuscaloosa is the absolute worst caller in the history of calling. And I just don't know why he still calls. He doesn't talk about sports, man. But I mute the TV every time he comes on. So I just wanted to call and say that. And I know I'm not the only one that feels that way.
Well, Chad, thanks for all the conversation. And we hope you get over that the next time he calls. Appreciate it. Glenn is in Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Glenn, we are doing well. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I wish there was a little more equal time among the various teams in the SEC. I mean, as I see so much of Alabama and Georgia, I realize they have good records. You can't ignore them. But let's try to get equal, something more like equal news from the other schools. And also, one more thing, this guy, Jim, he doesn't, he talks about everything but sports, so I'm not interested in hearing about his family. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jack is in Florida. Hello, Jack.
Yes. Hey, Paul. Always a great show from you. I always appreciate your incredible insight.
Thank you.
I have a point to make, though, about yesterday you talked about the University of Texas football program and why it's all, you know, it's definitely been the most underperforming big-time program over the last 20, 30 years, I don't know. And with all apologies to Mac Brown, who's a super great guy and was a great coach. But I'd like to, as a guy who grew up in Texas, a wishbone quarterback, you know, played baseball at Texas, I'd like to present my theory.
Sure.
As to why the University of Texas just can't, hasn't cut the mustard. And I'm going to call it something really weird. I'm going to call it psychogeography, all right? And here's what I mean by that. Texas, the state, is relatively isolated from the southeast and from the rest of the country. It has its own swagger to it, big egos. And I even appreciate Greg McElroy's theory that the problem is that the high school programs are so elite in Texas that when you get you go to Texas, you think you're a god. You know, as a football player, you're overconfident, et cetera, et cetera. But what's really the problem, I believe, is that ever since the Darryl Royal era, Texas has been mired in a macho past of just line up and whip your man kind of thinking. And because it's isolated psychologically, it did not adjust to the changes in college football that have occurred over the past 30 to 40 years. That Nick Saban is the quintessence of that, which is it's all about strategy and tactics and speed and timing and all that. Texas has been so slow to catch on to that for years, and the reason is because it's psychologically isolated from the southeast. You know, you look at the kids out here in the southeast; they're all connected by state, and there's a sense in which they play the game much more efficiently than the schools you see out west. And Texas is really the hallmark of that because it has been mired in the past, psychologically, with Darryl Royal, line up and whip your man. I mean, I grew up in that kind of football, and Texas has not adjusted. And I think that's part of the whole idea of moving to the SEC to try to get better connected with programs that are managed more intelligently, the way Nick Saban manages a program. That's my theory. And I wanted to lay it out to you.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory. We will digest that in a few minutes. Thank you very much for the call. Long way to go here before we shut it down. We have a West Coast view of all of this that's happening in college football when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, JetsPizza.com/save. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back. Time for meetings. We heard from Heather earlier, who is out in Scottsdale. The Big 12 folks are there. Pac-12, I believe, are having spring meetings right now, but considering they don't even have a headquarters anymore, why didn't they just do it by Zoom? John Wilner joining us. John, great to have you on, and I am curious, what exactly is the Pac-12 talking about right now?
You know, Paul, a lot of the same stuff as other conferences, NIL, playoff expansion, media rights, how the NCAA is going to transform itself into a viable entity to oversee college sports, you know, a lot of big picture issues.
Yeah, they certainly aren't talking about the NFL draft, I suppose.
No. Although they are, you know, a lot of the issues have a trickle-down effect on recruiting, and that obviously is connected to the NFL draft at the other end of the pipeline.
Well, John, let's talk about the health of the league. Kliakoff has now been there long enough to start to put his imprint on what is going on. What are, other than being relevant, Mrs. Lincoln, what are the biggest issues for this league right now? With you know, outside of the issues that are facing everyone else, which is NIL portal, trying to figure out what's next in the sport.
Right. Well, you know, they've got their media rights negotiations are probably going to start late this year, right? The Big Ten is doing theirs right now. Pac-12 is up next. And certainly they're trying to plot a strategy where they can kind of thread the needle between maximizing their revenue but also getting more exposure than the conference has gotten for football. So that's a big one. And the other, you know, another key thing is football strategy, right? How do you, if you want to improve your chances to make the college football playoff, you know, is 9 conference games better than 8? Are you better off with divisions or no divisions? You know, and I think that they were heading down one path with that stuff, thinking that the playoff was going to expand soon. And now that it certainly appears that there's going to be a 4-year delay, I think they need to figure out how are they going to bridge the gap from right now to 2026, and what's the best strategy. I think there's a good chance that they will get rid of divisions, maybe as early as the 2023 season, thinking that matching your first and second place team in the conference championship game would give you a better chance to get a team in the playoff.
And that seems to be sweeping the nation, the SEC talking about the very same thing when OU and Texas join up whenever that is. John, it does seem like there is some good news on the horizon. You know, we had a conversation out in Vegas the other day with Dan Lanning. He seems like a really bright young coach. Obviously, Lincoln Riley is getting most of the headlines in SoCal. How much does at least the immediate future of this league depend on whether or not Lincoln Riley can right the ship at Southern Cal?
I think to a huge degree, you know, the next few years are going to depend on USC, right? I mean, it's kind of like if Ohio State were struggling, you know, how it's even to a greater extent, right? Because at least the Big Ten's got, you know, Penn State and Michigan. But USC is still the bluest blood, the only real blue blood in the Pac-12, and when it is kind of off the radar, it impacts the entire conference. Whereas if the Trojans are, you know, top five, top ten, if they got players challenging for the Heisman Trophy, if they're in the playoff hunt, you know, that just changes the perception of the conference. And it also, you know, given the timing of the media rights negotiations, having USC on an uptick with Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, can help the Pac-12's brand at the negotiating table.
John, you follow the entire sport very well, and every day there's something new on NIL. Ross Dellinger just reported that they want to crack down on these collectives. I say that laughing because, you know, you can't stop this train now, can you, with what's happening in college football?
I think you could try to put some broad oversight on. I mean, right now there's no oversight, right? I mean, Indianapolis has just wiped its hands of the whole thing, and it's the Wild West from coast to coast. I think there are probably a few things they can do to at least patrol a little bit of what's going on with these booster collectives, right? Because, you know, it's now a proxy for pay for play, which is, you know, it's one thing if your senior quarterback is getting $100,000 on NIL deals because of, you know, his performance at the school and he's endorsing products. It's another thing if boosters are offering $100,000 to a four-star recruit who, you know, is not even signed a letter of intent. So I think there's probably some things they can do on the margins, but I mean, the train is left the station. It's now just trying to keep it from going over the cliff.
John, I bring this up because the Pac-12 has a number of very, very strong and respected academic institutions. I mean, they're all pretty good schools. And many wonder about the future of college football right now, that in a couple of years, the way this is going, maybe even sooner than that, the little guy, so to speak, the schools like Stanford that put such a premium on academics are literally going to get left out of this entirely. What are your thoughts about what you see and sense out your way?
I think that it's possible the Pac-12 is going to have an existential crisis on its hands in a few years if the situation keeps going in the direction it is with the pay-for-play. You know, there's legislation in California right now moving through Sacramento that would create a revenue sharing plan between the schools and athletes. It is not difficult to envision a scenario which, you know, Stanford and Cal, and I don't know about UCLA, but Cal, if Cal's going to say we're done with this and Stanford's going to say we're done with this, there's going to be a lot of pressure on UCLA to do the same thing. And there'll be other schools, I think, that would consider that, you know, because of budget constraints. And they're not alone, right? I mean, you wonder, how would Vanderbilt and Northwestern react if this thing just continues to spiral out of control?
And John, I, you know, you can put all the guardrails up you want, but who really, and the answer is nobody, is going to enforce this? You can get all the sanctions from the governing body, but nobody's paying attention to the rules right now. And I as you say, I don't know why Stanford has slipped in recent years, but it's just hard for me to imagine that university and Berkeley and all the and UCLA and even others being able to hang when you compare what USC is currently doing versus what Stanford is probably doing with money to players.
Yeah, no question, which is why I think that, you know, 6, 8, 10 years from now, right, it's going to be, FBS is going to basically be split into two, right? You're going to get your top 30 or 40 football-playing schools that are in it all the way, and they're going to be like a mini NFL, and then you're going to have everybody else that's going to, and that other group is going to look a lot more like the FCS looks right now, I think. And it's just a matter of which teams make that top 35 or 40, right? You figure it'll be the SEC, Vandy, maybe not, and then the real football powers from ACC, Big Ten, and maybe a couple from the Pac-12, and that's it. And that's your mini NFL.
Yeah, and back to the story in Sports Illustrated. According to Dellinger, he's out in Scottsdale, that leaders are gearing up, get this, to issue a warning to hundreds of wealthy boosters who are using NIL to involve themselves in recruiting. I'll try to read this with a straight face, John, okay? University administrators, part of a task force to review NIL, are finalizing additional guidelines.
I mean, is it, if they, tell me and tell the audience, you can put all the guidelines in the world out there you want, but there are guidelines now that don't allow boosters and booster involvement, and boosters are running this show, aren't they?
They are. I mean, it sounds to me like what's going to happen is the cheating that has been going on under the table, that's now going on over the table, is going to just kind of go back now, being back under the table in some ways, right? It's just a different, it's just a different table with these guidelines than it was. You know, the NCAA isn't providing the enforcement. The schools are going to try to do it. It's going to keep going until when or if Congress steps in and provides some real oversight, right? Part of the problem is that, you know, each state views NIL a little bit differently. And I have no idea how they're really going to be able to corral it, but at least maybe they can get it to the point where the optics aren't as ghastly as they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's what they want to do. I mean, go out and hire a bunch of Pinkerton guards to police college boosters. I mean, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but the NCAA couldn't catch these boosters if they had video of it, could they?
Well, the NCAA, no, and they're not even going to try. I mean, it's clear that the NCAA is out of the enforcement game when it comes to NIL, and, you know, to a greater extent now than even a couple months ago, because now there's a lame duck president. I mean, even more of a lame duck than he was before. So I don't think that you're not going to see any substantive change on this front unless Congress steps in, or unless the transformed NCAA with a new leader in, say, 2 years really is able to muster some teeth to its enforcement process.
And just in my watching of we have a number of news channels on while we're talking to you, it looks like Congress is preoccupied today, John.
I think so.
I don't think they're really. If you walk around and ask Mitch McConnell or Chuck Schumer to, hey, what do you think about NIL? You're liable to get punched out.
Yeah. This whole Jordan Addison thing, not quite the firestorm that's going on in D.C.
No. Hey, great to have you on, as always. John Wilner, one of the most knowledgeable people in the industry. We will talk to you soon. We are heading to the break later on. David Ubben. On NIL, I know it sounds like there are other things going on, but there really aren't any other things going on. You have the cheating, you have the tampering, and now you have the administrators gathered together who are shocked that this is going on in and around them. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
College leaders are planning a crackdown on the NIL, according to Dellinger. He's out there covering the meetings. Schools are not monitoring the donors. They're allowing boosters to openly tamper, and they're not going to put up with this. What did the captain say in Casablanca? Gambling in Casablanca? I'm shocked as the man walked over. You're winning, sir? it is... Yeah, you can't be any more cynical than to laugh at some of the stuff that we are hearing. Randall Hogg is up next in Arkansas.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Paul, I've called to extend an olive branch to Jim. If he would like to unblock me, I would give him a cyber hug tonight, because he got my feelings just a little bit, Paul.
I think he touched a lot of people, because we've all had things in our past that
that maybe haunted us at some point in our lives.
Right. That's correct. And if he would like to unblock me where I could cyber hug him tonight, I would be happy to.
Yeah. Well, I'll maybe he's watching, and you know, we've had that conversation about blocks on Twitter. So hopefully he heard you, Randall, and a cyber hug between you and Jim would be just heartwarming for all of us. Thank you for the call. Gary is in South Carolina. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you. I have been a longtime follower. Grew up in Alabama. I remember you from your days at the Post Herald and then the early radio days of Mark and Brian. So it's,
thank you. Wow.
Good to see you. Good to see your success. It just means I'm getting old too.
Well, Mark and Brian was really my radio star. That was a long time ago, and those guys were really talented.
Yeah, I enjoyed their show. What I want to talk about was some of the, I think, unintended benefits of the NIL to the university and college fan is that, you know, a lot of these guys would go pro, especially in basketball, when they got the opportunity. And you know, there's only two rounds in the NBA, and so some of them go undrafted and things don't work out like they want. But now with the NIL, some of these stars who are borderline first-round draft picks may decide to stay another year because they'll get paid more in college than they would in their first year in the NBA. So before, where there was a rush to get to where they could be paid because they only had finite years of athletic capability, now they may get paid just as much in their junior, senior years. I think you probably already saw that with Armando Bacot with North Carolina. You know, he could have probably gone out and been a first-round draft pick, but he chose to stay at North Carolina for basketball another year. I think that could be something that could be good for folks, and maybe won't be quite as much of a turnstile, except for transfer portal, for people, you know, once they fought, you know, have a star college basketball, that was one of the things that's been lost is you had people that were there for 3-4 years, and now you don't have that quite as much. So I think that could be a benefit to the sport.
It's entirely possible that some will be saved by it. Ultimately, the better players will probably gamble, but it is at least an incentive not to go. It's hard to believe that we're actually saying this. In college football, to stay in college, you can make more money, and that's the incentive not to go pro. But that's the world we live in, so we have to not embrace it, but deal with it. Steve is up next. Hello, Steve. You are on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, I heard Heather on before, and she was talking about they were trying to change it to where you just get to the 85 scholarships as quick as you can, you know, changing that rule. But isn't the scholarships going to go away? I mean, back in the day when Bear Bryant had his greatness, it was because he put everybody on scholarship. Well, now you can just, you know, hey, just you're going to be our best guy on the team, or you five or six people, we're not going to put you on scholarship. We're just going to give you NIL, this huge money. That way we've still got more scholarships to give out, and ultimately you're past the 85 and you go as high as you want.
Yeah, you've asked a really great question there, and I'm not sure I know how to answer that, but I think it's worth getting a good answer. Is that a gray area? Is that something that the current bylaw deals with? But it's really, you're right. Back in the day,
Satan says there's no reason to give you a scholarship. We'll give you, you know, this great NIL deal, and I'll use this scholarship on somebody else, and then you're, you know, 120 people on, you know.
I don't know if there are any other hoops you have to go through, but I'm going to pose that question to an administrator and come back and give you an answer before I try to pontificate on something I really have no earthly idea what the answer is. John is up next in Missouri. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Huge Razorback fan. I love the Razorbacks. Fayetteville, Northwest Arkansas, magical place.
Sure,
I was very encouraged about what I saw last year and the improvement of the team. But I was watching the spring game, and oh, my gosh, this looks like Burks has left such a big hole. I'm really worried. What do you think about the Razorbacks this year? I kind of want to get your opinion. I don't know.
Yeah, and I didn't see the spring game, but I will tell you that you just don't know the circumstances of what happened on the spring game or what I remember there was some issues with that. So I feel really good about the Razorbacks. Maybe I should have watched the spring game. I think they're a legitimate contender based on the experts with whom I speak and having talked to Sam Pittman many, many times. So don't read too much into that. I had a former South Carolina player tell me last year about this time. He had gone to a few practices and said, I don't think we'll win three games in Columbia. And look how that team put it together. You just, there's some missing, there are a lot of pieces that you probably haven't seen yet. So we'll continue the conversation here. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. More guests. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back here late in the program on Tuesday. Legend is next.
Woo! Black Cat, NWO in the house, baby. What's going on, brother? I'm worried about you, man. Are you all right?
I'm doing okay. What are you worried about?
I thought you was going to hell.
Oh, well. Hey, let me ask you a question. I know that in one of your previous lives, you were a minister. Do I remember that correctly?
Yes, sir. I was an evangelist for 7 years, traveling the country.
Well, can you help me?
Yeah, I can help you, Paul, but, I mean, Jim ain't going to like it. I mean, unlike him, I read the Bible 16 times cover to cover, and it plainly says, if you judge, you shall be judged. And with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. So I guess Jim's going to hell by his own words if he actually knows the Bible, man. I don't think you got no problem, Paul. I mean, I see the fruit of the Spirit in you all the time. Hell, you're long-suffering, patient. Hell, you put up with me all these years.
Well, it's something that I'm as concerned about as you are and everyone else. I can't make any prejudgment about myself. I'll leave that to the experts like Jim.
Yeah, I mean, hell, he sounded like David Koresh up in here or something, man. He's sending folks to hell. I mean, come on, dude.
Here we are at the Branch Davidian today.
Really? I mean, Jim's David Koresh up in here. What kind of – you want to hear about a troubled youth? I was a Yankee who grew up in Walker County. You want to hear about a troubled youth?
Yeah, and by the way, I don't know how old Jim is, and it's none of my business, but at some point in your life, legend, you know it better than I do. You've experienced all kinds of terrible things that you saw. And you just have to move forward and leave that behind.
Hell yeah. I don't let none of that stuff hold me back, Paul. It's just I was a bad boy, but I'm a damn good man. I can promise you that.
Yeah. By the way, that sounds like Jason Aldean's newest hit.
Hell yeah.
I was a bad boy, but I'm a damn good man. Number one on the country charts.
Damn good man. Damn good man. You know, David Koresh needs to read that verse in the good book where it says, don't look at the splinter in thy brother's eye, but look at the log in thy own eye. That's a Georgia oak tree in your eye, Jim. A damn mighty big chainsaw couldn't saw that thing out, brother. Hey, Paul, I heard you on Mac and Q, which is a really good show in Birmingham. They done a really good job. I enjoy that show. I heard you say that college football was on the verge of disaster. Can you elaborate? Because you got me worried on that a little bit.
In full context, it's on the verge of disaster in terms of any regulation or any management. But I also added that as long as there's a betting line on Saturday, legend, I don't know if you heard me say this, people are still going to pay attention.
Hell yeah. You know, it really pisses me off when these commissioners, like the NFL commissioner and all these guys, don't recognize that 80% of people watching football are betting on it. The only games I'm interested in is Alabama and my Indianapolis Colts. If them two teams ain't on, I don't give a damn unless I got money on it. And most of the time, I got money on it. That's the only reason I would watch the Georgia Bulldogs is if I got money on them, baby. You couldn't pay me to watch the Georgia Bulldogs. I'd rather watch Andy friggin' Griffin to watch the Georgia Bulldogs. Hey, Paul, by my figuration, I'm not Mel Kiper Jr. or anything, but no. If I hadn't had that brain injury when I was young, I might have been. But, you know, according to my calculation, Georgia got about the sixth best quarterback in the SEC East. Wouldn't you agree?
I'm doing the math right now. Why do you have him so high?
I don't know, but he ain't as good as the Kentucky quarterback. He ain't as good as the Missouri quarterback. He damn sure ain't as good as AR-15, who I think going to have a breakout great year. And Mike Griffin brought his sorry butt on here the other day talking about if we make Georgia, it's a great year. No, 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 Georgia Bulldog fans. I don't want to hear that bull crap. You're a king now. You're a big dog, according to you. You're Alabama, according to you. No, we don't want to make Georgia better. We want to win in Georgia. Just making Georgia don't mean a damn thing to Alabama. And that's why you ain't us, Mike Griffin. And that's why you'll never be us, brother. And, Jim, I got that chainsaw. I can't get that Georgia oak out of that eye. Ow! Woo! Black hat, baby. Love you, Paul. Don't worry about Jim. You ain't going to hell, dude. Of all people, you ain't going to hell. Legend out.
Tell you what, I feel a lot better now. I was worried. Oh, man. What a day.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.